Welcome. This is Laura Lameri, and now you are tuned in to Conquer Real Estate Investing. I'm going to share with you the real deal as it comes to real estate investing, so listen in. Today, I will address a specific topic and answer your real estate investing burning questions. Be sure to email in your questions to be answered and featured in a future episode to questions@lauraalameri.com. Again, that's questions@lauraalameri.com. Let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's podcast episode. I'm Laura Lameri, and I have a special guest today here. He's a real estate investor, but also he has a real estate bookkeeping business, which is very niche and very much needed for real estate investors. So his name is Matthew Beans, and he's in Phoenix, Arizona. Welcome, Matthew.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, so thanks for being here today. And we're going to spend a few minutes here talking about the importance of having a good bookkeeping system. But tell me a little bit about your background. You are also a real estate investor, and actually you started as a real estate investor and saw the need for a bookkeeping service for a real estate investor. So tell me a little bit more about you.
I did, yeah. So I'm a pretty young guy. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice. And if you're watching the video, you can see it. I actually started my professional career as a welder, and helped the owner of the welding company kind of build his business, stepped away, got into sales. You know, long story short, got into real estate investing, fix and flip primarily right now, as it's just like a really good strategy to build capital. So wholesale and fix and flip is what I primarily focused on. But with networking with all these guys who were amazing, like real estate investors, 9 out of 10 of them are awesome. So I'd spend a lot of time with them. We'd have a fantastic conversations. And it just would always come to this point of like, you know, where are you going with your business? Like, what are you doing with it? And, you know, people are either trying to do more deals. They're trying to raise more money. They're trying to strategically, you know, shift their business in a way where it's more profitable, whether it's volume or, you know, something, either volume or reducing costs. And either one of those, it was, okay, well, how much are you spending? It's like, oh, I'm spending about, oh, I don't know, I'm using this much or that. And it was never really accurate. And so when I flipped my first house, I'm using a spreadsheet. Mind you, my partner in the bookkeeping business is doing bookkeeping for other real estate investors. So I show her my spreadsheet, and she's like, the heck are you doing? Like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this on my own. I got this, like all this stuff, right? The whole man thing. And she's like, listen, we're going to set you up in QuickBooks. We're going to get your bookkeeping right. We're going to get your accounting right. And everything's going to be 100% like accurate. And I can't tell you how much better I sleep at night, how many more people, even though I'm young and new to the industry, relatively, how many more people are like, hey, we want to do deals with you. Hey, we're willing to lend you the money. Hey, we're willing to do this and do that because you have a bookkeeping firm. And, you know, it's also vice versa. Hey, you have a bookkeeping firm. And so they become our clients. And now it's like, we're talking about doing deals. So it's really been helpful symbiotically for us. And I love all of my clients. I love them. I love them so much. They're amazing.
Right. Yeah. And one of the important thing you just said is because you do have your books, you know, in order, and obviously you can sleep at night. But the other thing is it helps you when you go out there, especially if you are in a fix and flip or buy and hold business, where you have to have financials. You know, even if you go to a private lender and you're asking to borrow money for your fix and flip, they want to see how you manage your financials. You know, that's crucial, right? So that's how you build up your resume as a real estate investor. So that's what you said about having the financials straight so that they're ready when you come across a deal is so crucial.
Yes. Now, and so here, I'm going to add on that is sure. Something I've noticed too is in a partnership, because if you have two partners or three partners in a deal, which is really common, I mean, you've been in this for 30 years. I'm sure you've seen a lot of partnerships on different deals. Is if one partner in the deal is doing the books, who's auditing that person? Who's
Right.
ensuring it's, you know, who's ensuring it's being done right? So we're actually in the middle of helping this guy. He actually has a deal down in Mexico, and he's got different investors from all over the world. He's like, the only way I'm going to be able to pull this off is with, you know, a third party bookkeeping service. And I was like, well, here we are. Let's do it.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. And now, and you know, I come from first experience knowing how important it is to have somebody who is also knowledgeable in the real estate business. Because a lot of time you say, okay, well, I just hire a CPA or just a regular bookkeeping firm. Why should I hire somebody that is knowledgeable about real estate investing? And I shared with you, Matt, an experience I had, unfortunate experience, where I had a CPA. And he was doing my taxes, my returns, everything. And he did some things wrong and that triggered an IRS audit. So it's important to know somebody that knows how to set up the books. And then you can give him the Swiss CPA to do what they need to, but to really account for things properly. So do you want to expand a little bit on that?
Absolutely. So the CPA, whether you use their knowledge or not, you're paying for the numbers, which is, you know, kind of one of our points is, you know, we're not CPAs. We don't have those letters behind our name. So you're not paying the CPA prices for non-CPA services. Now, as far as real estate specific, you can hire any bookkeeper. I've got guys that have CPAs that come to us. I've got guys that have, they had some dude, one guy had a dude in the Czech Republic doing his books as like a VA, you know, like that's really popular right now. But every one of them get frustrated because real estate's a very, very unique business. And if your bookkeeper and your CPA don't have the knowledge in the real estate game, I mean, I'm not going to say they're going to screw you like purposefully, but you're going to get screwed because they just don't know. Like there's so much specific knowledge and so many, certain ways to structure your books, to structure your taxes. You know, you're spending a lot of money and you're making a lot of money, and it's a very aggressive, fast paced, a lot of information, a lot of minor details that really, 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 really need to make sure their T's are crossed and their I's are dotted. So,
right.
You know, you could go on Fiverr, you can go on probably Indeed, you can go on QuickBooks and just hire bookkeepers all day long. But one, you're going to get frustrated because you're going to be like, oh yeah, we paid for PropStream. And one week or one month, they're going to be like, oh, that's a marketing service. The next is going to be like, oh, that's a software service. And then, you know, there's no consistency because the bookkeeper is doing bookkeeping for a restaurant and a real estate investor and an e-com business and a dispensary and a furniture business. And it's like, there's no specificity and no routine on how to make it specific. So they don't really actually get great at doing what they do.
Right. And so that brings me to the next question here. What are specific questions that investors should ask when looking to hire a bookkeeper for their real estate business?
I would definitely ask what other investors are your clients? Like, who else are you doing bookkeeping for? Because the real estate investors in the game, they know all the other real estate investors. Like, usually within a city, it's a pretty tight-knit group of people. And whether it's social media or personal, you know, you're going to know at least one or two names. So definitely ask, who else are you doing books for? And if you don't know, like, ask them, okay, what type of real estate investing are they doing? And if they're not mentioning things like a very specific chart of accounts, if they're not specifically mentioning the type of business that you're doing without you mentioning it, that to me would be a red flag. Because if they don't mention, like we know how to do bookkeeping for creative finance deals, I would bet 99 out of 100 bookkeepers wouldn't know how to do that, especially that aren't in the real estate game.
Right.
So no, definitely. I would ask for referrals all the time. Hey, can I call two of your clients that use you?
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. And you have to be careful because with real estate, especially when you start getting the fix and flip side of things, you can have a lot of money going through a bank account on a given month. And when you have millions of dollars that goes through a bank account and you're doing fix and flip, like, you know, with me doing syndication, I might have moms, so there is over $10 million going through the account from private investors. So you need to make sure that you account that, you know, you need to do some type of reporting. You have either, otherwise you're going to have the SEC and the IRS bring it down your neck. So the thing is, these are very important things. You're dealing with a lot of money, especially when you're dealing with other people's money. So mm-hmm. to remember, to know how to properly account for this money is crucial to keep you out of trouble. Like I said, being in the business as long as I have and having good and bad partnerships, I know the importance. And like you say, you never want a partner to be actually the one doing the books, which honestly, I made that mistake too 20 years ago when it's like, oh yeah, I trust her. And the next thing, you know, I know she had embezzled $160,000. But the thing is, that's important. You have a third party that really can do this kind of neutral, for the same reason you use a title company to do your closing. You're not using your business partner to do the closings, right?
Absolutely. The other thing I was going to say, the other one is ask them, how are you going to, if you're in fix and flip specifically, mm-hmm. how are you going to classify my properties within, you know, whatever software you use? First of all, if they're doing a spreadsheet, like, do not use them. Like, your bookkeeper needs to be on a cloud-based software. You need to pay for the cloud-based software. Do not use spreadsheets. It's a recipe for disaster. So right. in their cloud-based software, how are you classifying or how are you separating each property? The proper way to do it within QuickBooks is by class. So don't ask the question, hey, are you separating the properties by class? Because you're just giving them the answer, right? You need to really question them. How are you separating which property, you know, how the expenses are separated? Like, keep it kind of vague, like you don't really know what you're talking about, and let them give you the answer of, oh, we do it by class. Mm-hmm. Because you have customers, you have projects, and you have classes within QuickBooks. The proper way to do it for bookkeeping is by class. Right. So those would be my two, is the referrals, the class. And then my third one would be, what kind of reports am I going to get? And the two answers for that are going to be, you're going to get a P&L by class, and then mm-hmm. you're going to get a balance sheet. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get that every single month.
Right. Yes, definitely. So, you know, as a real estate investor and also working, with a bookkeeping company, what are some of the important tips you would give to somebody that is really looking to set up their real estate business in the correct way, keeping track of their financials? And so what are the most important tips?
So if you're just starting out, let's say you're doing your first wholesale deal, you're doing your first fix and flip, I would say find a bookkeeper that can do it at a very low cost, right? Our minimum is $150 a month. You're doing one project, you're wholesaling maybe one or two deals, but get it set up. Because once you get busy and you're doing 5-6 deals at a time, you are not gonna have time to like go and do this, because you're not really big enough to where an assistant's doing it, and you're not small enough to where you're not too busy. You're like, you're gonna be in this really like, there's just gonna be so much going on. You're not gonna have time to do it. So get it set up as soon as possible. Bite the bullet. It's not that big of a bullet. We're talking about $150 a month. For, you know, you go do one wholesale deal that pays for your probably 2 years worth of bookkeeping, right?
Right.
So get it set up as soon as possible. If you are an established real estate investor and you don't have any sort of thing set up, don't use spreadsheets. That's my always number one.
Yeah, really hate spreadsheets.
Yeah, don't use spreadsheets, because a spreadsheet's good for creating your P&L. But what's going to happen? You're going to go spend your money at Lowe's. You're going to spend money at Home Depot. You're going to order stuff on Amazon. Maybe you're really aggressive and you go on Alibaba, or you go direct to the plants in China and, you know, the other countries. Well, now you're hand typing these stinking receipts into your spreadsheet. And then it's like, oh, I forgot the ones in the truck door or the ones in my back pocket that I threw my jeans in my washing machine, and now I don't have it. And, you know, like, it becomes this nightmare. Where right. when you're on a cloud-based software, you swipe your card and it just links straight to your account, and you just, you know, organize it.
Right.
Now,
Yeah, there is no excuse nowadays not to be.
Oh no, yeah. And if you're at that point, like my other tip, honestly, is don't do it. Don't do the bookkeeping, because as an investor, your time is more valuable doing deals, walking deals, comping deals, talking to sellers, talking to wholesalers, you know, talking to investors, and doing that $200-$300 an hour work versus going and paying your bookkeeper couple hundred bucks a month to just go get it done. And even if you're early in your career, like, oh my gosh, how am I going to afford this? Go do the work that is going to make you money. Bookkeeping does not make you money.
Right. No, I totally agree. And I feel, you know, one of the things I always tell real estate investors, you know, it's like, you know, what is your specialty? You're a real estate investor. You know, you're not going to skip trace your leads. You're not going to do this time consuming stuff.
Yeah.
That's really, you know, you can pay a VA $50 to skip trace 300 leads. You know, it's not going to make sense. For the same reason, it's not going to make sense to you trying to figure out QuickBooks or how to do your taxes. And you're still going to mess up at the end of the day anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, having a spreadsheet, those days are gone. I used to have a spreadsheet back in the 90s, you know, the beginning of the 90s.
Yeah.
And I kept all my receipts in shoeboxes, you know, but nowadays with the scanner and the capability and using the tools and technology, it takes a moment with your phone. You scan the receipt, you get to Lowe's or Home Depot or these purchase orders, and boom, you know, they're into the system. So it's definitely so much easier. And it's more a matter of discipline for a lot of real estate investors to really do this, mm-hmm. which brings me to the next question here. What recommendation would you have for somebody that has already been a real estate investor who is doing several deals already, that maybe they haven't got the organization, and they're saying, you know what, a CPA is enough. You know, I just give him my stuff. And I was guilty of that too. You know, I put my stuff in bags and shoeboxes and gave them to my CPA a couple of times a year and figure it out. But like you said, you know, that's obviously not the best way, and I'm not doing it anymore. But what is some of the tips you would give for somebody who's already established, but maybe they're not better organized? Why should they really pay attention to get organized with their bookkeeping?
So I'm going to answer that with a question. And my question is, how are you supposed to make week to week and month to month decisions if you're getting a year end P&L only?
Right.
If you're day in and day out, so right now, how do you know you're alive?
Mm-hmm.
When somebody's laying on the ground, they just got knocked out, something happens. I don't know if you've ever been through CPR, but you look at their chest, are they breathing? You put your cheek against their mouth, or like, is there air coming out? And you check their pulse. What is the breath and the pulse of your business? That's your balance sheet and your P&L. And if you're only checking your pulse once a year at the end of the year, when things are the craziest, you've got Christmas, New Year's, traveling, taxes going on, you know, doing more deals because you just took a month and a half off. Like, you've got the busiest time of year by far. And you're like looking at your P&Ls. I guarantee you're not analyzing it. You're not looking at it. You're not familiar with it because you're looking at it. If you're in the industry for 5 years and you only look at your P&L one time a year, like, you've only seen your P&L five times. My investors are looking at their P&L 12 times a year. Plus, sometimes they're paying me to go over it with them because they want to make decisions. One guy, he thought he was making $400,000 a year. He's been investing for 15 years. And it turns out his fix and flip business is making $250 and his wholesale business is making $660. He's like, wait, so do I just like suck at doing flips? I was like, well, it looks like the majority of your money and your time is going to fix and flip between payroll, your time invested, your marketing, all the materials, running guys, running jobs, all this stuff. But you're spending like literally $30,000 and you're making $660,000 on this side. And it sounds like your time invested from our conversations is like 10 to 20 hours a week. I was like, you could literally have a better life with less stress, more time with your family, if you just like didn't do so many fix and flips, because they're not like, just cherry pick them.
Right.
And so knowing those types of decisions, especially like right now, I'm a young guy, right? I'm young, I'm hungry. Yesterday I woke up at 4:30 a.m., went to bed at 11:30 p.m., and I don't have a family. I don't have kids. Like, I'm just constantly grinding and working. But when you're 30, 40 years old, 50 years old, which a lot of real estate investors are, they go, they work their job, hey, they saved up some money, now they're investing, they kind of want to, you know, enjoy life a little bit more, you need to make those decisions like at least monthly, if not weekly, on how are we going to navigate our business and where's the opportunity, how much money's going in and out, and being accurate with those P&Ls, because your accountant is not inputting every receipt. They're paying somebody else to do it, and they're just kind of broadly categorizing it and maybe sometimes itemizing it if you pay them enough money, where our clients, you know, it's done. It's like, hey, here's the P&L. Everything's done. Their CPA bill is less. Their headaches are less. Their stress is less. They're sleeping better and they're having better sex. So, you know, what is there? What is there to say about it?
Yeah, no, it's true because sometimes, you know, obviously I always say numbers don't lie, right? I have actually a bachelor's degree in accounting and an MBA in finance, so I know enough about numbers. And the thing is to be able, like you say, to check where your business is going, because you might think, oh yeah, I'm doing great with fix and flip, but really your time and energy and your specialty is better devoted in something else in real estate, like wholesaling. And so all of a sudden you say, wow, okay, I spin my wheel so much, make 250 when I can make over $600, 600,000 with wholesaling. But you don't see it until you see the numbers. And it happened to me too, because when I was doing only bookkeeping once a year, and my CPA 20, 30 years ago, I thought I was doing great. And then several years I was doing the same number. And I was like, what happened? I worked so much harder this year, making the same as last year. And you know, if I had known this more throughout the quarters, then I can readjust my focus and strategy and my budget, you know, my marketing budget. So yeah, that's very important.
And
Now,
the worst thing in this game is going to be living the same year over and over and over again,
right?
right? Where it's a
Groundhog
hundred
Day.
thousand, 100,000, 100,000. Finally, it's like 250 and 250 and 250. And next thing you know, you're 7, 8 years into this thing, and you're like, I thought, like, I've listened to the podcast, I've read the books. Where's all the money at? Like, I'm working so hard and I'm not going anywhere. Like, there's a strategy to this thing, and you need accurate numbers 100%.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I totally agree. So now, as a real estate investor, then, what are three things that you would do different now if you know, if you knew what you know now when you started?
If I knew, I was very strategic when I started. I didn't just go for it. I mean, I did, but I was aware that I was kind of like young and naive and, you know, really, really risk tolerant. Like, I was just willing to do whatever. Like, I had nothing to lose, right? So what I did, I'm going to say what I'm grateful that I did that I don't see most people do, is I actually found somebody that's been in the industry for 15 years, and rather than doing the fix and flip on my own, I said, hey, let's partner on this. Yes, I'm giving up 50% of my profit, but for example, I went and I got two landscape bids. They both came in over 2 grand. He's like, that's too much. And I was like, dude, I can't find anybody for less. I asked two more people, $700. So that's just one example, and there's so many things that happen that he's just right there in my corner. He's looking over my shoulder. Like, is it hard? Yeah, it's hard. Sometimes you want to make this decision because you're emotionally attached to the decision. You want to do well, and you've got somebody saying, no, that's the wrong decision. So if you're young, or like I say young, if you're young in the real estate game, as in, you know, you've done less than 10 deals, I say find somebody with experience that is willing to help you and willing to go 50-50, even if it's not a quote unquote fair split as far as you know what's possible. For my first couple deals, I put up the money. So he found the deal. He brought the crew. I brought the money. I put the loan in my name. The house is in my name. I'm paying the crews out of my pocket. Like, all the finances came from me. And so the way I looked at it is, if you were looking at this on paper, I'm taking way more risk than he is, right? But that experience and that knowledge and the learning, like, you can go read books, you can read podcasts, you can do every, you know, you can go do all of that, and it's really helpful, and it's all theory and principle. But when you actually do it and you have to write that $5,000 check and you have to write that $50,000 down payment check, and you have to sign the dotted line for a 12% interest rate hard money loan, and you have to ask somebody for $50,000 to help finish your rehab, it's like you can't learn all the emotions and the chaos and the confusion and the doubt that happens in your head when you're starting to go for it. So having somebody there that can be a rock, that you trust, that you have a relationship with, you know, to me, that is by far the best thing that I did. I'm sure later on down the road, I've only been in this thing for a little bit of over a year. So I'm sure in 5 years, I can look back and be like, I'm an idiot. I should have done this. But right now I'm too, you know, a little bit too new to realize my mistakes.
Right. Yeah, no, the Tony Robbins says one of my favorite quotes, that he said, you know, find somebody that has been successful in what you want to succeed, mm-hmm. and just follow in their footsteps.
Just follow them. Know?
And that's the easiest thing. Why trying to reinvent the wheel, right? Why trying to figure something out that you don't, you know, like, it's very smart the way you did it. But, you know, when I started, there were nobody for me to follow, honestly. Back in the 80s, there were a couple of books. There was no even any training or courses. Coaching wasn't a thing yet. And so I read whatever I could get my hands on. And then I had to figure things out on my own. But it took mm-hmm. me like 8 years to really get to the point where I could actually see real estate being a viable business for me. Mm-hmm. Well, I was also a real estate agent, so that side of the business was easier. But the thing is, so find somebody that has been doing it before you and just follow in their footsteps. It's as simple as that, you know, to do it. And I don't know why people make it so harder. They think that maybe says, you know, like with bookkeeping, you know, why do you want to save a couple hundred dollars a month when, you know, your time is more valuable in spending things and doing something you're actually good at instead of trying to figure out this? You know, people sometimes, there is a thing we call in accounting opportunity cost. You know, the opportunity cost is the money that you think you will lose if you didn't do something else. So for example, you know, yeah, it might save you $200 in doing bookkeeping, but how many thousands of dollars have you lost because you wanted to save the $200? Or the same thing when somebody goes and, you know, or splits their profit with somebody who is already established, or hires a coach. You know, those are money that you spend, yeah, but you learn so much. And so, you know, just imagine the cost. If you had done the first few deals on your own, not knowing what you don't know, you would have had to spend the lawyer money to get you out of trouble, or make costly mistakes because you didn't know what you were doing. It would have costed you more than splitting your profits with somebody else. Mm-hmm. So that's what the people forget. The opportunity cost is really what is the cost of you not taking that opportunity? You mm-hmm. know, what's the true cost?
And don't look at it as a cost or an expense.
Right.
It's an investment.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? That's it. Yeah. But that's why people get stuck on that. You know, I have to pay $200, $300 a month for this. So I have to do. Yeah. But how much money you lose because you don't do that? You know, yeah. Even down the road, how many opportunities are you going to lose because you didn't have your books in order, or because you didn't know how to, you know, show what you're doing really? Yeah. You have the experience in real estate, but people want to see the numbers, you know. They obviously, war doesn't count much when it comes to real estate sometimes. So great. Okay. So what are the, you know, just to finish up on the call, and you know, then I'm going to have you actually see how people can reach out to you and connect with you on more a personal level. But what are a couple of things that, you know, some book that really was kind of a turning point for you, you know, and it could be about real estate, it could be about mindset, it could be about anything, but something that was really something that triggered, you know, that aha moment. And also, what are some of the tools or apps or things that you really, really enjoy using nowadays?
Oh, wonderful. I love that. I love that second question. Nobody ever asked that one. So I've got over 100 books on my bookshelf, and I've probably read 90 of them, or, you know, 90% of them. The one that really got me started, and I think this is almost industry wide from probably a lot of investors, is Rich Dad Poor Dad. You know, understanding the very basics, reading that book, if you haven't read it, you know, it's going to teach you the what, but not the how It's not going to give you the nuts and bolts of how to do it, but it's going to put that bug in you, like, oh, okay, there are some legs to this thing. And books, I've read so many books that I would say my best advice for reading a book is really, really be self-aware of what you're struggling with or what your goal is. You know, like, where are you trying to go? What's standing in your way? Who has the knowledge to either remove the roadblock, get over the roadblock, or get you to that goal? And then go find their literature, right? Go read it, go implement it, and go do it. Because the worst thing that I hate seeing, and I've seen it in myself, is you go read 2-3 books about this, that, and the other thing, and it's like, oh, that was cool, but it's not applicable. Like, I was talking to a friend, he said, have you ever read The Intelligent Investor? And this was a couple years ago where I wasn't investing yet. I said, no, I haven't. I will, like, it's on my list. It's been on my list for a couple years. And the only reason I haven't is because I should probably read parenting books too, but I'm not a parent yet and I'm not expecting it anytime soon. So it's right. Almost information that's not applicable to me in the next 6 months. So, anyways, some good books. Unscripted is a fantastic book. If you're thinking about entrepreneurship, if you're thinking about taking that leap, Unscripted is probably one of the best books about entrepreneurship, I would say, about taking that. I'm looking at my bookshelf right now.
And what about some podcasts? Do you listen to any podcasts?
So podcasts, I used to listen to a ton of podcasts. I like really intense people. I love listening to Andy Frisella. Full disclaimer on Andy, if you don't like hearing cuss words, if you don't like being yelled at, if you don't like feeling like you're not enough, don't listen to his podcast, because he's extraordinarily intense. He's running a $1 billion company. And that dude has some fire under his butt. So love listening to Andy. I think he changed the name of his podcast to Real AF, which probably stands for real as, you know, the last word, and then the Real Andy Frisella. So I'm not sure which one, but it fits both ways. I love listening to him. Brad Lee, Dropping Bombs, is a fantastic podcast about sales. Of course, Young Hustlers with Grant Cardone. I used to listen to that. I don't even know if that's still going. But what I found myself doing with podcasts, and why I say I used to listen to them, is there's one guy I follow on podcasts now, and it's only when he's getting interviewed, and it's Chris Voss on The Art of Negotiating, because as an FBI lead hostage negotiator, I feel like I can learn a lot from him.
Yeah,
but what definitely ended up happening for me is I would just go, like, quote unquote, hang out with these guys, right? They're like, oh, that was a good conversation. Oh, that was a good podcast. Oh, that was a good this. I wasn't like seeking knowledge. I got into this routine personally where I'd listen to it and they just became almost like characters or friends or, you know, whatever thing happened in my brain where it was like, it was good and it was useful, but it wasn't, I never went and applied it. So I turned to books more now, audiobooks specifically, because I end up driving and, you know, working a lot, and I can just throw some headphones in and listen to the book. So that's
I love that, audiobooks too. Yeah.
Yeah, those are fantastic. And as far as apps, of course, I use a mortgage calculator. I use the Mortgage Qualifier Plus or something like that. I use the Lex Rehab Calculator for running rehab numbers. I probably use my phone and my texting more than anything because I'm constantly on the phone and, you know, doing all that. But I was on Instagram quite a bit and Facebook, but what ends up happening is, you know, you create some content, you put it on there, you start scrolling, you start DMing people, commenting, and 4 hours later, you're like, where'd my day go? So I jump on Instagram, you know, probably once a week now, just for, like, I set a 20-minute timer. And if it's not done in 20 minutes, I send people my number. Hey, let's finish this over text, because I gotta boogie and get some real work done.
Great. Well, thanks. It was a lot of great information here. And how can people reach out and get hold of you or check your website? Do you want to give them out the information?
Of course. So Instagram, I do go on there once a week. It's at the at sign, and then it's Matthew Beans, just my full name with the ITS before it. Matthew Beans and Matt Beans were taken. So we took that one. And then I'm on TikTok. Shoot me a DM on TikTok, or I'll even throw my number out there. It's just 928-293-0794. Shoot me a text, call me if you guys need anything. And then, of course, the business is the REI Bookkeepers. It's just the REI Bookkeepers on all platforms. And the website is, .com, the REIbookkeepers.com.
Great. Well, thanks a lot for spending this time with us. Gave us a lot of good insight. Hopefully made some people aware of maybe a part of their real estate business they were not considering. Oh, maybe I don't need to do it right now, down the road. But yeah, this is definitely a foundation block that people need to consider, which is keeping their books straight, especially if you're looking into going into borrowing money, private lenders and so forth. They're not going to see the financials. So great. Thanks a lot, Matt, for spending this time today. Hopefully everybody got some good golden nuggets out of it. And make sure you reach out to him. And if you have any more questions, and take care. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.